Well, everybody likes a story with a happy ending, don't they? We read a story, whether it be an adult novel or whether it be a children's story, we like those stories with happy endings where, you know, they lived happily ever after. Whether it says that or we know that from the story. And we like that because we leave those stories with a renewed sense of hope and being uplifted from reading the story. And maybe in that story there were troubles or something happened and along the way, but it comes to the end and there's a happy ending. And we really feel uplifted. We watch the people go through troubles, and we know that in the end, it all turned out good. The resurrection story is no different. In the Apostles' Creed, we state that Jesus, on the third day, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he wrote that Christ died, that he rose from the dead, and that he sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. Folks, that's a real source of comfort for us. That Jesus, our Lord, isn't just sitting in heaven, watching outdoor shows or football games or something like that. He's there interceding for us. He's active, interceding on our behalf, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You know, this position of sitting at the right hand of some important figure is a position of honor. And it's a position of authority. So when we hear the Bible talk about Jesus, and it does all through the New Testament, talks about Jesus having authority, being anointed by God, and now he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We know that he has that position of authority. When we think of that word authority, there are a lot of things that come to mind when we think about authority in our culture. You know, and maybe in regards to our president, there are a lot of things that come to mind regarding authority in that term. Maybe the laws of our society. When we think about the laws of our society and the authorities in those laws or the authority of those laws, it's maybe in our workplace or our schools or our homes, and or maybe even in church when we start to think about authority and proper authority and what we think is proper authority and how things should be. Each person personally decides every day whether or not they're going to respect the authorities within the society that they live in. You know, and we see what's going on in our society today that people are not respecting the authorities, are they? There's chaos everywhere. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It scares us to death to turn the TV on. We pick up the newspaper and it's all about all the bad things that are happening because people aren't respecting the authorities in society. The same is true in our religious and spiritual walk, which is largely personal. From the time we wake up every morning, we choose who it is or what it is that's going to be the authority in our lives. That thing or that person that dictates how we live our lives becomes the authority. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something you're involved in right now. You put your whole life in, and it literally controls your life. That becomes the authority in your life. Maybe the authority in your life is money. And you can't work enough because you can't get enough money. You see, every day we make those decisions. Who or what is going to be the authority in our lives that's going to dictate how we live our lives? I want to emphasize today the importance of having the proper authority in our spiritual life. It's perhaps the most important part of our lives as human beings. Our human existence is the authority in our spiritual lives. And I want to focus on two words as we go along. Now, granted, as we go here, some of you are going to say, well, that's, I already know that. I'm already there. I already accept that. This is old stuff to me. In fact, this is boring. But you see, when we look at our culture today, and we look at all that's being taught out there in our culture, on the television, in the newspapers, even in our churches, we have to be very discerning about what's going in our ears and into our minds because it alters the way we live and it becomes the authority that so-and-so said or so-and-so said or so-and-so said. You understand? So it is important that we go over some things from time to time as Christians to strengthen our faith so that when we sit and hear that we say, no, that's not right because of God's Word says something different. So I want to talk about this today in our text in what is a good happy ending to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had come on the scene in Palestine and he had been healing people and teaching people and most importantly forgiving people. Every indication was that Jesus was somebody special in the culture of that day. The Jews were looking for the Messiah, the Christ, the Christos in Greek, which meant the anointed one. Because the prophets told them, their Old Testament teachers told them, God was going to send an anointed man, an anointed person, to be their new king and to free them. Well, Jesus came on the scene and there was every indication that he was somebody special. But there came a time when the religious leaders had had enough of Jesus. And they questioned him, asking, by what authority are you doing these things? There couldn't have been more evidence as to who Jesus was and where his authority came from. After all, he was doing the things that only God could do. The evidence was there. But their rejection of Jesus was no different than the rejection of Jesus today by many people in our culture. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, think about this. Pilate asked Jesus an interesting question. In John chapter 19, Pilate says to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or crucify you? Either free you or kill you? Don't you realize I have the power?" It's no laughing matter, but we do chuckle because there Pilate is standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who was there at creation and was part of creation. Nothing that was created has been created without him. All that has been created through him. And Pilate's saying, "Don't you realize I have the power either to set you free or to kill you?" Imagine Jesus' thoughts at that particular point. In our text today, we find Jesus after his resurrection. He had been resurrected from the dead, but before he had ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He's meeting with his disciples on this mountain in Galilee. And it tells us when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, what's interesting here is Matthew's ending to this story, the life of Jesus. It's very short. We don't get a lot of details. We read that Jesus rose from the dead, the people went to the tomb, he was not there, and we read about the idea that there was a conspiracy. Say that Jesus had risen from the dead, that someone stole him and he wasn't really raised from the dead. So what happened? 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain of Galilee, and there they saw him and worshipped him, and some doubted. Now, understand that the word doubted here doesn't imply they didn't believe. There these people were that had spent 3 years or maybe more around Jesus and saw all that he did. They had seen him crucified. They had seen him be put in the tomb. And maybe had heard that the tomb was empty. And all of a sudden, here Jesus is. They're on the mountain. Here Jesus comes before them. Presents himself before him. And some worshipped him, but some doubted. These disciples weren't in a state of disbelief. What they were doing, they were wrestling with this in their minds. Because this had never happened. Someone risen from the dead. We saw him crucified. We saw him put in the tomb. And here he is. How could this be? They were wrestling with it in their minds. Do you ever wrestle in your mind with your faith? Maybe you hear somebody say something in a sermon or on TV, or you read somebody's book, some bestseller, and all of a sudden you find yourself wrestling with your faith. Well, gee, that sounds right. Could it really be? Well, maybe I'm reading this wrong. Maybe there's something wrong here and I have to go back over it. We wrestle with this in our mind and our faith. And that's okay. We should. Because when we wrestle with these things in our minds, it's important to get back to the Bible. Because the Bible will always set us straight and get us back on the straight and narrow. So here these disciples were, they even saw Jesus. And they struggled spiritually with this. Today, here we are 2,000 years later. It's a little easier for us to doubt, isn't it? A little easier for us to doubt today. But they were struggling with this in their mind. They couldn't conceive of what they were seeing. So Jesus comes to them and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority on heaven and earth, in heaven and earth, has been given to me. Think about the profound statement that Jesus makes to them. My gosh, for how many years Jesus has proven that he had some sort of special authority, didn't he?
Yeah.
Here he was, risen from the dead. It's almost as if Jesus was standing before his disciples and saying, "Boom, here I am. Now do you believe? Check it out. I've risen from the dead and I've overcome the grave." In the Greek language, the word "all" is pos. It includes all the forms of declension from these other words. In other words, all the directions you go from these other words. Those words are all, any, every, the whole, all manner or means of, every way, every one, as many as, thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, and whosoever. And every direction you can go from those words, all meant and means all. In other words, there isn't anywhere, any place, comparison with anybody else that Jesus doesn't have authority or that he has less authority. All authority, he says, has been given to me. This means in intensity and in amount. Okay? He is the great authority and he has all authority. The second word in that is authority. Exousia in the Greek language, from the Greek word exesti, which means lawfully. So legally now, Jesus has authority. It implies privilege and implies capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, superhuman potentate, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. Legally, he has that authority. So Jesus has, in regards to all, he has legal authority over all things in heaven and earth. In heaven and earth. Think about that. In heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Now, I would certainly have to agree with that because the man rose from the dead. So there was nothing that had control over Jesus. You know, we think we got control of our lives. We want control. We're going to control this situation or that situation. When you lay down to close your eyes one last time, you have absolutely no control. You are not in control. And I want to tell you this morning, you're not in control of life right now either, whether you think you are or not. You're not in control of your life, as some people think they are. And I've found it's a good thing that we're not, because the world would be a lot worse place. So we ask, as the religious leaders and the chief priests and the elders ask, where did he get his authority? Where does Jesus get his authority? That's a good question. That's a logical question. Well, first of all, not from us. He doesn't get his authority from us. Jesus isn't the authority because we worship him and we praise him and we give him authority. He doesn't get it from us, from humanity, from mankind. He doesn't get it because he did the things that he did. Jesus isn't the authority because he did all these miraculous and marvelous things. He did them because he is the authority. They don't give him authority. He had the authority to do them, so he did them to prove his authority. And thirdly, he doesn't have the authority because he was a good guy. A lot of people say, "Oh, Jesus is a good guy. He was a prophet, yeah, he was a teacher, he's a good guy." That doesn't give anybody authority. All right? All through the Gospels and the New Testament, it talks about Jesus' authority being from God, that God gave him authority and he sat down at the right hand of God. And God gave him a name that is exalted above all other names in heaven and earth. Now, 2 points this morning. First of all, and herein, I want you to think about this, because here's our debate today in culture, modern culture. Those of you who are in college or just out of college, you know this is going on. Here's the debate. If we agree that God gave Jesus all authority, God gave Jesus all authority. First of all, I want to stop for a second. Notice what Jesus says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Some people say, oh, well, that's the church, because the church is Jesus Christ today. And this is telling us that God gives the church authority. That's not what it says, and that's not what Matthew meant when he wrote it. True, we are the body of Christ today. But that is not the truth, because the church is human beings. And that's what's sad in some cases. The church gets this mindset that it has authority to judge what's moral and immoral. So you got one church going one way and one going another. And you lose truth when that happens. Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, to Jesus. And you see what the key is that the authority of the church is Jesus. He gives the church power, but the authority in the church is Jesus Christ. Now, if we agree that God gave Jesus all authority, what about the other religions? God gave Jesus all authority. Notice what Jesus is saying. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What about other religions? What about other prophets? What about other ways to eternal life, which our culture is telling us? Right? They say, oh man, this is hate speech. No, it's not. It's the truth. That's what Jesus was trying to say. Some say we worship the same God. There's a great documentary on television on Sunday nights that just started. I encourage you to watch it for the historical information, because they're teaching about all different religions. And I've watched it, and it's very good. It's very in-depth, and it is very accurate. To the point where the man in the program says the one line that breaks every heart of every true believer when he says, because we all worship the same God. Now, wait a minute. If we worship the same God, and if that's true, we would all be on the same path, and our holy books would all agree, and our belief systems would agree. But they don't, do they? They don't in this day and age. Anybody that tells you they do does not know them. They do not agree. So it becomes a problem of our holy book against yours. And you see, our book tells us that God gave Jesus authority. Right? That God gave Jesus authority. Jesus didn't say, well, some authority has been given to me. Certain authority has been given to me. Authorities to do certain things have been given to me. Or I have certain things that I've been given authority to do. What's the word he says? Pause. What's the word? What's the word? What's the word? And what's it mean? Has been given to Jesus. Because of the same problem the religious leaders had in Jesus' time, people simply do not want to give Jesus pause. Exousia, all authority. That's the problem with religion today in the world. God gave Jesus authority, shouldn't we? Okay, we worship the same God. Let's go down that road. Why does your God, that's the same as my God, not give Jesus authority in your book? Because it's not the same God. You see, folks? We're being fed that lie today in culture. And I'm responsible to tell you that. Because when we start believing that Jesus has no more authority in our lives, and the Bible's full of passages that tell us what happens when we turn away from Him or don't accept Him as Lord and Savior. For heaven's sakes, He even has authority over hell and the grave. He proved it, and He presented Himself. Nobody else can claim that. And if He has authority over death, imagine the authority that He has over the things in our lives that we battle with. Worry, anxiety, anger, slander, temptation, fear, doubt, debt, pride, jealousy. And that's not an extensive list either. One thing all these have in common is that we've taken authority to commit them, believing in our hearts that it's okay, that we have a right to commit them. But the authority of Jesus, when we turn to Him, will win the battle that we have every time and glorify God. Even in the little things, folks. Even in the little things. even in the little things. You know, I was laying under my truck yesterday, working on my truck, and laying there, and you know, some of these things were tight, and this wasn't working. And you guys know how it is. You're working on something or something in your life that you're involved in just isn't working right. You're getting more and more aggravated, and you're just about to lose your religion. And all of a sudden, you stop and say, wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. I'm not allowing Jesus to have authority over this situation. And we stop and say, Jesus, help me here. I'm having trouble. You know what he does? He comes and he lays right beside us in the dirt and the grime, and he looks up and you know what he does? He changes our attitude, calms us down. Says, it'll be okay. Just keep working at it. Just keep working at it. It'll be okay. He redeems us and he brings us into that proper mindset of what it is to be a Christian. You say, well, that's just so petty, so little. No, it's not. It's every situation of our lives. Jesus has to be the authority. We have to invite him in to get involved in those situations. And when we rob Jesus of his authority, it causes us to distort his word. You see, when we start distorting Jesus' word, we are actually robbing Jesus of his authority. And we try to control our lives. And as long as we try to control our lives without Jesus, well, look at our country. Look at our schools. Look at our communities. Look at our churches, even. Because we're trying to control the situation without Jesus being the authority. And what do? We start to distort his word. We start to say, well, he's really saying this. No, he's not. He's saying this. It's right there. You know, the other day, one of my struggles that I have is people tell me the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000 is all about Jesus getting everybody to share their food. These were pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem and for the festivals and stuff for the feast, and they all had food with them because they were traveling, and Jesus got everybody to sit down and share their food. I said, it doesn't say that. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Gospels. And you get several accounts in the Gospels of that. In fact, the one Gospel account said that the disciples came to Jesus and said, these people have nothing to eat. And people still argue and say, well, no, that's just a hypothetical situation that some didn't and others did, so Jesus got them all to share. It doesn't say that. You know what that's doing? That's totally robbing Jesus of his authority, because what did Jesus do? He took the little that they had, basically the nothing, and he lifted it up and he praised God, and it multiplied into enough to feed thousands of people. That's the authority and power of Almighty God through Jesus Christ in the lives of those people who believe. Not saying Jesus was a good guy and his power was, he got everybody to agree and share their food. What authority is there in that? My gosh, Donald Trump could do that, right? Okay, now that we're on the same page here this morning, second point, real quickly in closing, and I want to say, if Jesus has all the authority, then his words have authority. His words have authority. And you know what I've found, folks, in my life when I've had struggles and trials and temptations, the words that give me the most comfort and stand out the most are written in red. I love the Bible to have the words of Jesus in red, because it points to authority. It points to clarity. Those people were not 21st century scholars with bachelor's and PhDs, doctor's degrees and so forth. These were common people in an agronomic society. They were farmers. They were people that fished for a living. They were people that didn't understand the theological terms that we do today. If Jesus taught them that way, it's good enough for us, isn't it? So what do? We look through and past the words and say, well, I don't know about that. Okay. And what do? We rob Jesus of his authority. Remember the stories with happy endings that I was talking about? In our lives today, for every human being, there will be no happy endings unless Jesus is at the center of the story. He has to be the key figure in the story, each one of our stories. And you know, we're all individuals. Our stories are as different as night and day. Okay? But if we want the ending to be the same, Jesus has to be the main character. Even in death, there will be a happy ending if Jesus is the main character. That's our hope. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Right? And I wish everybody could be laughing about this right now, like Lily is. Because that's our joy as Christians, isn't it? And the Bible keeps telling us that, and culture keeps saying, no, no, no. The Bible says, yes! And Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Which leads us to the final verses of our text today. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. This is called the Great Commission, for those of you who've never heard that term, the Great Commission. Jesus is our authority, and He commissions us to do two things. We have a cultural mandate that we're to go to all nations, all people. And secondly, we have a redemptive mandate to teach others to obey everything Jesus has commanded. Now, if we had the same God as all the other religions, why aren't they teaching people to obey Jesus? You see the difference there? There's night and day. There's night and day. Jesus gives us the great commission to go to all people and to tell them about Jesus and tell them to obey Jesus. That's who we are as Christians. We're storytellers. We go to all people and we say, hey, let me share Jesus with you. Let me tell you about Jesus. We don't go to the Bible and jam it down their throat. We don't go to them and say, hey, you know you're a sinner. Yeah, I got the answer for you here. I can tell you what to do. Man, that's disgusting for Christians to do something like, we say, hey, I've got a story to tell you. And we share with them our struggles and our trials. We share how the Lord Jesus saved us throughout life and continues to save us from our trials and tribulations. We say, hey, you know something? You can know this Jesus too. Because He's risen from the dead and He's alive. Matthew's answer here to the question, was Jesus the Messiah King? As he answers that, if Jesus was the Messiah and King, why did he fail to establish his kingdom? Huh. The truth is, and Matthew's trying to show us here, his kingdom has been established. It's a kingdom of believers and followers, and he's the authority. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality that when we live it out and make Him the authority in our lives and invite Him into the situations of our lives, we soon start to find it is reality. Because maybe it might take a while. Maybe it might get worse before it gets better, but we know with Jesus there's a happy ending. And Matthew begins with the birth in the back here of Jesus, His lineage, where He came from, how He descended from David. Okay? And Matthew ends by saying, He's the anointed Christ, the one you've been waiting for, and He's the authority for all of us. And today, He is God's right-hand man. He's working God's will in us and through us. He's sitting right beside God right now, God's right hand. He's here among us. He's everywhere. And He's interceding for us. He, on our behalf. On our behalf. That's awesome. And He's working through us as we submit our wills to Him as our King and our Lord and our Master and our one true authority. As we submit ourselves, He's working in us and through us as our King and our Lord. And Master. End of story. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our dear God, we thank you for your word that encourages us.